Hebrews chapter 7, verses 25 and 26. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Then the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth, shall we pray. Father in heaven, we thank You tonight for every song that's been sung and for every effort that's been put forth for Thee. Thank You, Lord, we've sensed Your presence here tonight already. We pray, Lord, that You'd settle down on this people. Make Yourself known unto each one of us. Speak to our hearts in a new way. Help us, O God, we know how helpless we are without Thee. Bless this people tonight. Give us words that would be needful in this hour. We'll praise You for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, about 3 o'clock this afternoon, I felt a slight heartbeat. Then about an hour later, I realized I was still alive. I'm going to blame somebody for taking a preacher out of the sunshine in Florida and bring him to a place like this was last night. I've got my top coat with me, and I'm already warmer inside tonight. It's good to see you here tonight. And I trust you'll mind the Lord for a little while. I'm going to try to. I don't know if I'll even touch what wasn't that great preaching last night? Somebody said, aren't you ashamed your son can preach that much better than you? And I said, no, I've trained him all the way. And Mike Blanton and Ev, they always get me going, I tell you. Have you appreciated them tonight? Won't you pray for Mike and Teresa? God's using him to build a great church in Columbus, Ohio. God is using him. We thank God for him. Thankful the Lord allowed our paths to cross. And thank you, Mike, and all the gang for that good singing tonight. I preached in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, on the subject higher than the heavens. I didn't get half of a priest. I'm going to try to pick up tonight and go on. Talk about some other things. So if you was there in that meeting, I'll try not to repeat anything. But we'll just go on for chapter 2. I preached there that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. God operates or works on a different thought level than we do most of the time. Now, we need to get our minds out of the gutter. It's hard to watch the soap operas on weekday afternoon and come to church ready to shout. The devil has control of this world system. He is the God of this world. But I'm glad there's another world that we can get a vision of once in a while. So God works on a different thought level. And I mentioned two in Pigeon Forge. He works on a different time level. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. Thank God for the Lord's arithmetic. I'm only 1 hour and 51 minutes old. That ought to make you feel younger. He works on a different thought level, a different time level. Hezekiah, we mentioned in the other message, was a great king of Judah. And I want to talk about another level tonight, and I just might start out with Hezekiah. God not only works on a different thought level and time level, but He works on a different trust level. Did you know Hezekiah trusted the Lord more than all the kings before him and all the kings after him? Yet God sent him a message and said, Hezekiah, get your house in order. You're going to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to pray to the Lord and said, Lord, I've trusted you all these years. You know I've been jealous for you and I've tried to do your will. He just spoke to Isaiah and said, go back and tell that man I heard his prayer, I've seen his tears. I'll just add about 15 years to his life. I'll give him a sign. Tell him which way he wants it. I can either move the sun forward or backward 10 degrees. He said, move it backward. Oh, thank God. I'm glad that God can not only hear our prayers, He still is a miracle-performing God. And did you know one thing Hezekiah did? I never noticed it when in Pigeon Forge and studying for this message. He took what he called the hushtan, which was the brazen serpent that they'd put on a pole when Moses was bringing them out of Egypt. You remember when the people, the snakes bit them and the people began to murmur and complain? And God sent the snakes and people were dying. And Moses went to God and said, oh God, do something. People are dying. And He said, take your pole and put it in the center of the camp and put a brass serpent upon it. Tell him that comes and looks, he can live. This is a picture of the cross. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This was a great illustration of the simplicity of the gospel. But do you know what those people did? They took that brass snake and for 700 years they carried it around with them and burned incense to it. They worshiped the snake instead of worshiping what it stood for. You know, we're creatures of religion. Or just something about us that we make ourselves religious. Down where I live in Florida, in Largo right near Clearwater, back about 5 or 6 years ago, on a bank building, solid wall of glass, there appeared the picture, a perfect picture, of Madonna or the Virgin Mary. As good as any artist could paint on all those windows. They called people from all over the world asking how that happened. And no one could doubt that it was a miracle. On a bank building, people came from miles. And for days, the newspapers carried, this expert said it happened this way. Another expert said it happened that way. But here it was. You know what happened? They bought that bank building, set up a shrine, where you could come and burn your candles and worship Madonna. About 3 months ago, somebody broke it out. And that ended Madonna. Thank God I'm not worshiping an image. I'm not worshiping something that I don't understand. God may have done it, but God said, I don't want you worshiping idols. I'm a true God. I'm a living God. You can worship me. You don't have to burn your candles, and you don't have to make your little marches to get a hold of me. I'm a God, and I'm alive, and my ear is open to your cry. If you'll pray to me, I'll answer it. I said, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. A different trust level. Thought level, time level. But God works on a different trust level. Moody said there's two ways you can go to heaven. First class or second class. Second class is what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. First class, I will trust in the Lord and be not afraid. What class you in tonight? There's a strange scripture. I caught this many years ago. In the book of John chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, the Bible says many believed in Jesus because the miracles He had performed. The very next verse says, but Jesus did not commit Himself unto them. Now, really what the Bible's saying, the same word for commit is the same word for believe. You know, the word trust is an Old Testament word. The word believe is a New Testament word. And we use many different words to express faith, or to put our faith in, or our trust in, or make our commitment to. So really what this Scripture was saying, many believed in Jesus, but Jesus did not believe in them. Talking about trust tonight. You see, we've taken the word believed and changed it a lot in our generation. And believe just means a little mental assent to the things about God and the things of God. The devils believed and trembled. It takes more than a mental assent. It takes one putting our life and our trust and our commitment completely in Him. Thank God. So I ask you the question tonight. Do you trust in God? And can God trust in you? That's what He was saying. Jesus didn't trust in them because He knew what was in them. He knows whether you trust Him or not. He knows whether you believe Him or not. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. James says the devils believed and trembled. The psalmist said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Man will let you down. But thank God the Lord's promises are true and they're real. Job was a man that trusted in the Lord. Sons of God came to present themselves to the Lord, the Bible tells us. And Satan came in their midst. The Lord said to Satan, where have you been? He said, I've been going to and fro across the earth. He's still going to and fro tonight, folks. He's here tonight. He was here last night. He'll be here every night. You see, He's the God of this world. And He's going to get in anywhere and everywhere He can. Job was a rich man. God had blessed him abundantly. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. 10 children. He had great riches. He didn't have cash in the bank or bonds in the bank. He had the real McCoy. He had tangible assets. 7,000 sheep. 3,000 camels. 500 yoke of oxen. Those 500 yoke of oxen, those 3,000 camels, would be like owning the biggest transport company in America. That's the way you move things, and that's the way you did it back then. 500 mare donkeys. Wonderful family. God said, Satan, you consider my servant Job? There's none like him in the world. He's a perfect, an upright man. He fears God and shuns evil. The devil said, no wonder, Lord, you put a hedge around him. You've blessed him with riches. You've made him rich. You take his riches, he'll curse you to your face. He said, all right, you just go ahead. I'll allow you certain parameters you can work in, but you just see this and you just take them. Job lost everything. They brought him news one after the other. He went bankrupt in just hours. Lost his entire family. Can you imagine that? 10 children in 1 hour's time were killed. That'd be enough to take, knock the props out from anybody. But in all of this, Job said, naked I came out of my mother's room, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We see not only that, but they have another meeting. He said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, well, you've taken everything away from him. And he said, well, I tell you what, you touch him. You touch his body, and he'll curse you to your face. So, they smote Job with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. I'll never forget the first picture I ever saw of Job. Some artist's imagination. That was the most repulsive looking man that I think I'd ever seen in my life. But after all of that happened, Job's wife said, why don't you curse God and die? He said, you talk like the foolish women. I'm not going, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Then Job's board of deacons had a meeting with him. And they can straighten him out. Job, what's happened? You've sinned. We don't know what it is, but you've done something bad. Job called them physicians of no value. That's what a lot of counseling is today. Have enough backbone to preach from the pulpit, you won't have to do near as much counseling. See, I'm an old man now. I can say those things, get by with it. Job said, man that is born of woman is but a few days and full of trouble. Let the day perish wherein it was said, a male child is conceived. Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed and my calamity laid in the balances together. Job was walking a dark road, lost everything. Didn't know which way to turn. Every direction he looked was darkness. And I can all but hear him say, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him. I'd fill my mouth with arguments. But I go forward and he's not there. I go backward. On my left hand, I cannot perceive him. I go backward, he hideth from me, and I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Do you know that God tonight? Are you trusting in that God that when the curtains fall all around you and the world's caving in on you and mountaintops fall and everything looks like you're walled in with no way out? Do you know the God you can put your trust in? Thank God when everything's going wrong. Praise the Lord. He can still give you sweetness in your soul to know that He's on the throne. I say glory, glory to His name. I'm liable to get happy here tonight. Do you know what Job's secret was? You ought to mark this scripture if you don't know. Job 13:15. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I'm talking about trust tonight. I'm not talking about a little mental assent to the Word of God. But I'm talking about one that you can trust. One will be with you in six troubles, and in seven, He'll let no evil touch you. And the Bible says, God blessed the latter end of Job greater than the beginning. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Abraham was called a friend of God. He trusted God. But God also trusted Abraham. Listen to what God says. For I know him, talking about Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Oh, thank God. God trusted Abraham. And He blessed him, I guess, beyond and above any other human that's ever lived. Abraham served pagan gods. He said, Abraham, I want you to get out from your family. They worshiped the moon. When God spoke, Abraham obeyed. I read somewhere, Abraham didn't write any proverbs like Solomon, but Abraham believed God. He didn't confront any pharaohs like Moses. He didn't walk through the flames of fire like the three Hebrew children, but Abraham trusted God. He didn't preach to that wicked city like Jonah did. He didn't have Samson's strength nor Mordecai's political skill. But Abraham just believed God. He didn't spend the night in the den of lions like Daniel did. He didn't prophesy like Ezekiel nor dream like Joseph. He didn't call fire down from heaven like Elijah or slay any giants like David. But Abraham believed God. You believe Him tonight? God said, Abraham, I want you to leave your people. Go to a place that I'll show you. With no murmuring or no complaining, Abraham gets ready to move. Some neighbor walks up and said, what are you doing, Abraham? Where are you going? Don't know. How long are you going to be gone? I don't know. What you going to do when you get there? Don't know. I know what's happened to him. He's gone crazy. Anybody ever tell you that? God called me to preach. They said, Evans has gone crazy. Some of you know where I'm coming from, don't you? The world won't understand when you begin to act that way. Oh, Abraham, what keeps you going when you face that uncertain future? You're looking for a city that has foundation, whose builder and whose maker is God. Abraham, what keeps you moving when you don't understand? I'm looking for a city. What motivates you when the world is closing in? What helps you beyond those little petty problems of life? What fills your eyes with tears when you don't know how you're going to get through this battle? What keeps you marching when the battle looks impossible? I'm looking for a city. Hath foundation, whose builder The Maker is God. We need to get our eyes set on the city. We need to lift up our thoughts into God's world. We need to lift up our trust into God's world. We need to move in God's timing, not get in too big a hurry. God knows where it's all going anyway. He'll take care of things. We're living in a day of weak faith. We see preachers folding up. They tell me that 1,000 preachers a week are quitting the ministry. Preacher, you ever think about quitting? I haven't for a long time. Did one time. Not going to get into that tonight. But there's too much at stake. Too much at stake. Preacher, you don't understand. My church don't appreciate me. Yeah, I understand that. I've seen a little bit of that. God's working on a different thought level, on a different time level, on a different trust level. God's also working on a different truth level. I read a little cartoon the other day in the paper. Pictured three men. They were all campaign managers. The first man said, there's two sides to every story. The second man said, there are mean, vicious, bald-faced, career-destroying, shameless, dirty lies. And the third man said, and they are just regular lies. Isaiah talked about the last days when truth would fall in the streets because there's no justice. Have you listened to the news lately? Did you know there's probably more people convicted of perjury, that's lying, under oath? You see, they don't even count anymore unless you're under oath. That's when you say, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but truth, so help you God. You swear it on the Bible. That's the only kind they even count. They don't even pay attention to the others. You know what's caused this? In our educational system, we've been teaching now for 25 or 30 years, there's no such thing as absolutes. It's all relative. You see, a lie is just how your take on it. Your spin, they call it. Put your spin on it. But it's still a sin in the eyes of God. It's a crime in the eyes of the law. Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Thank God for that truth. I'm talking about those facts that will stand in the day of judgment. I'm talking about those things that will stand when the world is dissolving and when it's on fire and disappearing into oblivion. Thank God the truth will still stand. The Bible says, the devil is a liar and the father of it. God led His people, sent Moses down into Goshen to get them out of Egypt. You all know the story. I'm not going to labor that. They get ready to move. They slay the lamb, put the blood on the doorposts. With their loins girded, ready to travel. God blessed this people. He first promised it to Abraham, then through his seed. He said, I'm going to give you a lamb. I'm going to bless them that bless you. Curse them that curse you. I'm going to fight your battles. I'm going to put a cloud up by day. You follow it when you can see it. And I'll turn on fire at night so it'll give you light. It'll keep you warm. I used a little bit of it last night. And that pillar of cloud and pillar of fire led them for 40 years through the desert sands. He said, you smite the rock, and I'll send forth rushing water, and that water will follow you every step of the journey for the next 40 years. They ate the same spiritual rock, drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of that rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, said Jesus. But he said, I'm going to see you through. He fought their battles. He gave manna every day but Sunday, or the Sabbath day. They could gather enough for 2 days. It would spoil. They couldn't keep it. That's what's wrong today. Greed has set in, and we try to keep everything. He said, you only have enough for today, and that'll be sufficient for tomorrow. I'll be back again. Send them quails from the ovens of heaven. Thank God they had something to eat, bread and meat every day. On Sinai, he spoke to them and gave them a law to live by. They said, we'll do it, Lord, we'll do it. As soon as Moses turned his head, they broke the first two commandments. Made an idol, a golden calf, and worshiped it. I said a while ago, people are religious. They all like to have a little bit of religion. But I want to get to where I'm going. He fought their battles. He gave them victory. He overcame their enemies. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. Can you imagine wearing the same suit for 40 years? They come till they're ready to move in. Can you imagine? He parted the Red Sea. They went across on dry ground. Every obstacle they met, he took care of it. And a man by the name of Balak was king of the Moabites. And he sees them as they're getting ready to enter into the land. He goes to a soothsayer that's had a reputation of doing some things and blessing some things and making it come to pass. The name of Balaam. He said, Balaam, I need for you to curse this people. They're like grasshoppers down the valley. I don't know what we're going to do. God's been fighting their battles. And God's been blessing them. And I want you to curse them. God said, I'll bless them, bless you, and curse them, but curse you. That sounded pretty good to Balaam. They offered him some money. He thought, boy, maybe I better think about this. He slept on the night. Went back and met Balak again. He's riding along on his donkey. There's an angel standing with his sword drawn. The donkey saw him, but Balaam didn't see him. The donkey went another way. Balaam beat on him and got him back in the path. Second time, then the third. Finally, the donkey just laid down on him. Balaam began to beat him. And the donkey said, I repeat, and the donkey said, why are you beating me? You believe that donkey talk? I sure do. The donkey saw a lot more than Balaam did. He didn't even see the angel. Did you know God made all of creation? And every animal obeys Him and never, never rebukes Him, never turns from Him. But when He made man in His own image, man rebelled and went the other direction. You didn't have any trouble getting those animals in the ark? He took a raven, fed his prophet every morning and every evening for months. But God made man and gave him a will that he could choose. You can choose tonight. You can turn off this preacher, turn off God, close your ears to everything I've said, and go on your merry way, and probably nothing immediately will happen to you. But you're going to face God at the end of the road. You're going to meet Him. You're going to meet Him. Balaam said, I can't change. This is God's doing, and I can't change what He's done. Did you know the Bible says in Hebrews that it is impossible for God to lie? I'm talking about a different truth level here. Man can lie and never bat an eye. I've had people lie to me. I knew they were lying, but I almost believed them anyway. They could sound so convincing. Have you ever met anybody like that? There are some people, boy, they have the gift of doing a con job, and you'll just about believe them if you know they're not telling the truth. But it's impossible for God to lie. It's against His makeup, His character, His being. He's a just God, a holy God, a righteous God. And He cannot lie. That tells me something. If God can't lie, there's no promise too hard for Him to fulfill. If God can't lie, there's no problem too hard for Him to solve. If God can't lie, there's no prayer too hard for Him to answer. God, who can't lie, says there's no person He cannot save. If you're here tonight without Him, God says He can save you. Preacher, you don't know what all I've done and where all I've been. I don't need to know. God knows. And God says He'll save you if you come to Him. Some folks say, well, I just can't understand the Bible. That's not hard to understand. God said, it's not My will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. You know some of the groups Jesus saved? The publicans, the Pharisees, the prostitutes, the very down and out people. Calvin Ray can verify this. We held a crusade, a big tent crusade in Trinidad. We bought a tent and sent it over there. We set it up in what the nickname, what place they call the pit of hell. They'd taken the slums out of the capital city of Trinidad and moved it out into a housing area. Same people, just put them in new houses. But it was still a pit of hell. The prostitutes and homosexuals. Every crime you could mention was there. I don't think I've ever preached in a place. My girls were with me. I don't think we've ever ministered any place where the people were more respectful to the Word of God. They were people saved in that meeting. One man was on his way to kill the woman he was living with and her children and was going to commit suicide. But he stopped by the tent and God saved him on the way, so it never did happen. Why are you saying, preacher? God is able to save to the uttermost. He'll save you tonight. I'm going to ask the singers to come, or the musicians to come, whoever's prepared to sing. God, can He trust you? Are you willing to trust Him with your future, with your life? I checked something tonight just before I came to church. And I got a surprise. As I checked this time thing as it relates to God, the best records I can find, do you know how long man has lived on this earth? 5,980 years. One day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. That means by God's time clock, it's 11:30 on Saturday, on the sixth night. Well, then Friday night then. 6 days are almost over. It'll soon be midnight. The seventh day will begin. The seventh day God rested. No wonder He refers to the yet future and talks about the millennium. That's 1,000 years. That's one day in God's time. Satan will be bound 1,000 years. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. God's going to rest after the sixth day comes the seventh day. Thank God tonight. Blessed and holy is He hath part in the first resurrection. Upon such the second death hath no power. He's going to be bound. And His people will worship Jesus as King of all kings and Lord of all lords forever. The sinner may laugh at this book. You may shrug your shoulders and say, I don't want it. But living in the very last moments of time as we know it. I'm not trying to scare anybody. Any place you read in the Bible now, you can see it happening in this world.